Hey everyone, and welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, today we're tackling a topic that might feel a little awkward at first.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about erectile dysfunction.
Ooh, yeah.
Sensitive topic. It's a really important one, and I think it's something that we can all benefit from learning more about.
Absolutely.
Whether you are personally experiencing ED or just curious about this, you know, surprisingly common issue,
mm-hmm.
we've got a great range of sources here, from medical studies to, you know, lifestyle tips. And
yep.
we are really aiming to equip you with a solid understanding of ED. We'll be debunking those myths, exploring the mind-body connection we always talk about.
Of course.
And even uncovering some surprising things that can contribute to ED.
Right.
Now, I know this can be a sensitive topic, but it's crucial to remember that ED is incredibly common.
Oh, for sure.
You are not alone if you're dealing with it. And in fact, what's the latest on just how common ED is?
Well, the numbers are pretty eye-opening. Research shows that up to 52% of men between 40 and 70 experience ED to some degree. That's more than half.
Wow.
So yeah, let's just take a deep breath, acknowledge that this is a widespread issue, and dive into understanding it better.
That's a great point. I think that statistic alone should make people feel a lot less alone.
For sure.
Now, before we go any further, let's actually define what we mean by erectile dysfunction. I mean, it's more than just a simple yes or no.
Yeah, you're right. You know, ED is clinically defined as the inability to achieve or maintain an erection firm enough for sexual intercourse.
Right.
But that definition is kind of like, you know, describing a movie by just saying it's a story with people.
Right.
There's so much more nuance to it.
Exactly.
ED can manifest in different ways, from, you know, occasional difficulties to persistent problems. And the severity can really vary greatly.
So it's not just an on-off switch. There's a spectrum.
Totally, yeah.
Understanding that spectrum, I think, can help remove some of the stigma.
Yeah.
Now, here's something I've always wondered about. Is ED purely a physical issue?
Hmm.
Or does our mental state play a role? I mean, we talk about the mind-body connection all the time.
That's a great question, and it really does get to the heart of the mind-body connection. While the mechanics of an erection involve vascular, neurological, and hormonal systems, all very physical stuff, psychological well-being is a huge factor.
Hmm.
Studies show that men with ED are more likely to report depression and anxiety.
Mm.
It's kind of like a two-way street. Stress and anxiety can contribute to ED, and then dealing with ED can then create more stress and anxiety.
Yeah, that vicious cycle, right?
Exactly.
It really emphasizes how intertwined our physical and mental health truly are. You know, this makes me think of ED as a bit of a canary in a coal mine.
Uh-huh.
A warning sign that something bigger might be going on beyond just the bedroom.
That's a brilliant analogy. You know, one of the key takeaways from our research for this episode is that ED can be an early indicator of underlying cardiovascular issues.
Oh, wow.
The blood vessels in the penis are smaller and more sensitive than those in other parts of the body. So if they're struggling, it could be a sign that blood vessels in the heart, for instance, might also be compromised. It's like the body is sending up a little red flag saying, hey, pay attention to your heart health.
So taking care of your heart isn't just about preventing heart attacks. It's also about protecting your ability to, well, have a healthy sex life. Now, speaking of health conditions, our sources dive into the connection between diabetes and ED.
Yeah.
What's the link there?
High blood sugar levels, especially if not well managed, can damage those tiny blood vessels and nerves over time. And those are absolutely essential for healthy erectile function. Think of it this way. High blood sugar is like sandpaper roughing up those delicate blood vessels, making it harder for blood to flow freely.
Okay, that's a great way to visualize it.
Yeah.
So managing blood sugar is crucial, not just for folks with diabetes, but potentially for anyone concerned about ED. It's all about preventative care, like we always say. Now, let's tackle a topic that always seems to come up when we're discussing men's health. Testosterone. What's the real deal when it comes to testosterone and ED?
Testosterone definitely plays a starring role in sexual function.
Sure.
And low levels can contribute to ED. But it's not as simple as just popping a testosterone supplement. First, hormonal imbalances beyond just testosterone can be at play. For example, thyroid disorders can impact erectile function as well.
So it's not just about one single hormone being out of whack.
Right.
It's about a complex interplay.
Exactly. And we also have to factor in the natural fluctuations of hormone levels with age.
Right.
What's considered normal for a 25-year-old is different for a 55-year-old.
That's a great point. It's easy to jump to conclusions and self-diagnose these days.
Mm-hmm.
But this highlights the importance of having an open and honest conversation with your doctor to get a personalized assessment.
Absolutely. A healthcare professional can help you understand what's going on hormonally and recommend appropriate testing or treatment if needed. They can look at the whole picture, not just one piece of the puzzle.
So let's shift gears a bit and talk about some everyday factors that can impact erectile function. Things that are within our control.
Mm.
I was surprised to learn just how much smoking and alcohol can affect things in the bedroom.
It's true, and it all comes down to those blood vessels and nerves we've been talking about.
Okay.
Smoking damages blood vessels throughout the body, including those crucial for erections.
Oh, wow.
Imagine trying to water your garden with a hose that's full of kinks and clogs.
Right.
That's what smoking does to your blood vessels.
Okay.
And excessive alcohol.
Yeah.
It can disrupt that delicate balance of hormones.
Wow.
And interfere with the nervous system's signals that trigger erections.
Okay, so those vices are a double whammy for your sexual health.
Yeah.
It's like they're working against you on multiple fronts. Now, here's something that really caught my eye in our research. Medications. It turns out that some common medications can have ED as a side effect.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
It's a lesser known fact, but it's definitely something to be aware of.
Okay.
Certain blood pressure medications, antidepressants, and even some over-the-counter antihistamines can contribute to ED. It might not always be the primary cause, but it's important to have open conversations with your doctor about potential side effects.
That's a great reminder to read those medication labels carefully and ask questions. Don't be afraid to advocate for yourself and explore alternative treatment options if needed. Now, before we move on, let's talk about a factor that often gets overlooked. Stress. We all know stress is bad for us in general.
Right.
But how does it tie into ED specifically?
Chronic stress is like a silent saboteur in so many areas of our lives, and sexual function is no exception. When we're constantly stressed, our bodies are in fight or flight mode, pumping out hormones like cortisol. This can lead to hormonal imbalances, constricted blood flow, remember those delicate blood vessels?
Mm.
And even decreased libido. It's like your body is saying, we're in survival mode here. Romance can wait.
So if you're constantly feeling overwhelmed and stressed out,
yeah,
it's no wonder your sex life might be taking a hit.
Right.
Your body is just prioritizing other functions.
Exactly. And this brings us back to that powerful mind-body connection we talked about earlier. Addressing stress through relaxation techniques, exercise, or therapy can have a positive impact on both your mental and sexual well-being. It's all interconnected.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this first part, from medical conditions to lifestyle factors to the often overlooked role of stress. But before we wrap up, I want to shift to a more empowering message. What can people actually do to address ED? It's not all doom and gloom, right?
Absolutely not. The good news is that ED is often treatable, and one of the most powerful tools is something we can all do, make lifestyle changes.
Okay, let's talk about those lifestyle changes in more detail in part two. We'll be back after a quick break.
Awesome. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before we jump into those specific lifestyle changes that can help with ED, I want to circle back to that canary in the coal mine analogy.
Yes, the connection between erectile dysfunction and cardiovascular health. Why is that link so strong? I think that's a point that really deserves more attention.
Absolutely. It's because the blood vessels in the penis are actually smaller and more sensitive than those in other parts of the body. So if blood flow is restricted in the penis, it could be an early warning sign that blood vessels in the heart or brain might also be compromised even before you notice any other symptoms.
Wow. So it's like our bodies are giving us a heads up about potential problems down the road. It's amazing how interconnected everything is.
It is, and that's why taking ED seriously and talking to your doctor about it is so important. It's not just about addressing your sexual function. It's about potentially identifying and managing underlying health conditions that could have serious implications for your overall health and well-being.
That's a powerful message. It really puts things into perspective. Okay, let's dive into those lifestyle changes you mentioned. We talked about exercise and diet in the first part, but can you give us some more specific examples? What kind of exercise is most beneficial?
Great question. When it comes to exercise, anything that gets your heart pumping and improves blood flow is a winner. Think brisk walking, jogging, swimming, dancing, whatever you enjoy and can stick with consistently. Aim for at least 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise most days of the week.
So getting that heart rate up is good for your heart and other vital organs. What about diet? Are there specific foods that can help or hurt when it comes to ED?
A balanced diet rich in fruits, vegetables, and lean proteins is like giving your body a VIP pass to good health, including sexual health. Think of it as providing your body with the premium fuel it needs to function optimally.
And I'm guessing those greasy burgers and fries are more like the cheap gas that makes your engine sputter.
Exactly. And here's a tip. Foods rich in antioxidants, like berries, leafy greens, and nuts, can help protect those delicate blood vessels we keep talking about from damage.
So it's not just about what you avoid, but also about what you actively include in your diet. It's about making those positive choices. Now, beyond exercise and diet, are there other lifestyle factors that can make a difference?
Absolutely. One that often gets overlooked is sleep. Getting enough quality sleep is essential for hormonal balance and overall well-being, both of which impact sexual function.
Ah, so those late-night Netflix binges might be doing more harm than good in multiple ways.
You got it. Aim for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night. Make sure your bedroom is dark, quiet, and cool, and avoid screen time for at least an hour before bed.
Okay. Good sleep hygiene is officially on the to-do list. Now, we talked earlier about the negative impact of stress. What are some practical ways our listeners can manage stress and protect their sexual health?
There are so many strategies out there, and it's about finding what works best for you. Exercise, as we mentioned, is a fantastic stress reliever. It releases endorphins, those feel-good chemicals, and helps shift your focus away from your worries.
I can definitely vouch for that. After a good workout, my stress just seems to melt away.
Exactly. And there are other mind-body practices that can be incredibly helpful, like yoga, meditation, or even deep breathing exercises. These techniques help calm your nervous system and bring a sense of peace and relaxation.
I've dabbled in meditation, and I have to say, it does wonders for my overall well-being.
It really does. And don't underestimate the power of spending time in nature. A walk in the park, a hike in the woods, or even just sitting in your backyard can do wonders for reducing stress and improving your mood.
Those are all great tips. It seems like taking care of your overall health is really the foundation for a healthy sex life.
You've hit the nail on the head. ED is often a multifaceted issue, and addressing it requires a holistic approach. Now, what about those medical interventions we touched on earlier? What can you tell us about those?
Welcome back to the Deep Dive for the final part of our exploration into erectile dysfunction. We've covered a lot of ground already, from the mind-body connection to lifestyle changes, but now we're going to shift gears a bit and delve into some surprising culprits that can contribute to ED. I was amazed by some of the things I learned while prepping for this deep dive.
Right. There are so many factors that can impact erectile function, and some of them are definitely unexpected. We often focus on the obvious things, but sometimes the culprits are hiding in plain sight.
Okay, so spill the beans. What are some of these surprising things that can affect a man's performance in the bedroom?
Well, let's start with something many people wouldn't even consider: medications. We talked about antidepressants and blood pressure meds earlier, but did you know that even some common over-the-counter medications can interfere with achieving or maintaining an erection?
Wait, seriously? Like what? Give us some examples.
Things like antihistamines for allergies or decongestants for colds.
Mm-hmm.
They can affect blood flow and nerve signals that are crucial for an erection.
So popping a pill for a stuffy nose could lead to, well, problems in another area.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It might sound crazy, but it's true. It just highlights the importance of reading those medication labels carefully and being aware of potential side effects. And of course, always consult with your doctor or pharmacist if you have any concerns or notice any changes after starting a new medication.
Okay, good advice. Don't just blindly swallow those pills. Read the fine print. What other unexpected culprits are lurking out there?
Here's one that might make cycling enthusiasts rethink their habits. Prolonged pressure on the perineum. That's the area between the scrotum and the anus, and it contains blood vessels and nerves that are vital for erectile function.
So we're talking about guys who spend hours and hours on their bikes.
Exactly. While cycling is great exercise, those long rides, especially with an ill-fitting seat, can put a lot of pressure on that sensitive area.
Makes sense. So choosing a bike with a properly fitted seat and taking breaks during long rides are probably wise moves.
Absolutely. And here's another surprising one. Sleep position. Research suggests that sleeping on your stomach can actually put pressure on the penis, potentially affecting blood flow.
So side sleeping or back sleeping might be better for guys concerned about ED.
That's what the research indicates, though more studies are needed. it's definitely something to consider if you're already experiencing issues. Now let's talk about solutions. We've already discussed the importance of lifestyle changes like exercise, diet, stress management, and good sleep hygiene. But what about medical interventions? Where do those fit into the picture?
Yes, let's discuss that. What are some of the medical options available for men who are struggling with ED?
The first step is to identify the underlying cause of the ED. Is it primarily physical, psychological, or a combination of factors? Once that's determined, there are several approaches. One common option is oral medications like sildenafil, Viagra, or tadalafil, Cialis.
Ah, the famous little blue pills we often hear about. Do they live up to the hype?
They can be quite effective for many men. They work by increasing blood flow to the penis, but they're not a magic bullet. They don't work for everyone, and there can be side effects, so it's crucial to talk to your doctor to see if they're right for you.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. What about other options, say, for men who can't take those oral medications or don't find them effective?
There are other medical interventions available. For example, there are medications that can be injected directly into the penis or inserted into the urethra. These can be effective for men who don't respond well to oral medications. And for men with more severe ED that doesn't respond to other treatments, there are also surgical options, such as penile implants.
Penile implants? That sounds pretty intense.
It is a more invasive procedure, but it can be a life-changing option for some men. It's typically reserved for cases where other treatments haven't been successful. It's important to have a thorough discussion with your doctor to weigh the risks and benefits.
Okay, so there are options out there, ranging from lifestyle changes to medications to more invasive procedures. It seems like the key is to work with your doctor to find the best approach for your individual situation.
Exactly. ED is often treatable, and there's no need to suffer in silence. Talk to your doctor, be honest about your concerns, and explore the options together.
Now, I want to shift gears a bit and talk about the emotional side of ED. I imagine it can be a tough topic for a lot of men to discuss, even with their doctors. What advice would you give to someone who's struggling with this issue but hesitant to open up about it?
First and foremost, remember that you're not alone. Millions of men experience ED, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a medical condition just like any other. Talk to your doctor, they've heard it all before, and they're there to help. There are also therapists and counselors who specialize in sexual health and can provide support and guidance.
That's great advice. Finding a healthcare professional you feel comfortable with is so important. It's about building that trust and open communication.
Absolutely. And remember, addressing ED isn't just about improving sexual function. It's about taking care of your overall health and well-being. It's about living a fulfilling life both in and out of the bedroom.
This has been such an enlightening deep dive. We've learned that ED is incredibly common, that it can be a sign of other health issues, and that there are a surprising number of factors that can contribute to it.
Yeah.
But most importantly, we've learned that there's hope and there are solutions. So what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember from our deep dive today?
If you're experiencing ED, don't suffer in silence. Talk to your doctor, explore your options, and remember that you're not alone. There is help available, and you deserve to live a fulfilling and satisfying life.
Beautifully said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into erectile dysfunction. We hope you learned something new, gained some insights, and feel empowered to take charge of your health. Until next time, stay curious and keep diving deep.